Good morning. I'd encourage you to take this opportunity to open your Bibles and your hearts to God as we look at the last section in Romans chapter 16, very last sermon in this book for a while. Actually, next week is going to take a verse here as we go into Nehemiah, but I'm going to use that as a launching off point. But the last section in Romans 16, page 1192 in your red pews, pew Bibles. I hate to draw this series to an end. It's such a rich book. But this is a great place for us to land the series in these last verses. Because here, Paul, in just a few verses, he teaches us why we ought to give God our confidence and praise. Why God deserves your heart of confidence and praise. In just a few verses, we'll stand and read these verses and hope we catch it in the reading. Hear the word of the Lord. Verse 25. The apostle says, "Now to him, that's God, who is able to establish you by my gospel and the proclamation of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery hidden for long ages past, but now revealed and made known through the prophetic writings by the command of the eternal God, so that all nations might believe and obey him. So the only wise God be glory forever through Jesus Christ. Amen." Please be seated. I believe by nature we are people who tend to worry. With the ensuing war with Iraq, it troubles us. With trying to raise a family, we worry. We want our kids to turn out right, too. We want relationships to be right. We worry about those relationships, whether we're single or married. We worry about our finances, whether we're just trying to put things together for our elderly years or late years, or whether we're trying to put some things together for a house or some place to live or pay our rent. We worry about our job situation. And I think that anything that touches our life, sooner or later, we're worrying about it. Some of us are worse at that than others. Or should I say, better at it. Someone says, worry gives you, it's like a rocking chair. It gives you plenty to do, but it doesn't get you anywhere. This is a good text here for us to be at, because we see that God wants you to give him your worries. That he wants you to have a heart of confidence as you think about God through Jesus Christ. God deserves your confidence and your praise because he's given us a rock of safety. The U.S. Public Health Service issued a statement for people who have a tendency to worry. The statement reads this way: "So far as anyone knows, no bird ever tried to build more nests than its neighbor. No fox ever worried because it had only one hole in which to hide. No squirrel ever died of anxiety, wondering if it had enough for two winters instead of one. And no dog ever lost any sleep, wondering if he had enough bones buried for the declining years." U.S. Public Health Service. God tells us, in effect, in this passage, that we have no reason to be anxious at any moment, because God has provided for us a rock of safety. Verse 25, "Now to him who is able to establish you." Now to Him who is able to firmly fix you, to fix you firmly so that you can stand today, tomorrow, and throughout eternity. And how has God, or why does God deserve your confidence and praise? Well, first of all, that this rock of safety that God's provided, it's been revealed to you. It's a rock of safety. You have a rock of safety that's been revealed to us. In verse 25, now to Him who was able to establish us according to the revelation. You see it? Establish you according to the revelation of the mystery hidden from long ages past, but now revealed. Just before Christmas and birthdays, young children want to know. And some of them go looking around the house to try to find out where it is, what it is. I have a slew of birthdays coming up here in May. Actually, there's some sooner than that in our family. And I made the mistake of telling one of the children I had the gift. It's unlike me to get a gift that far in advance, but I've had it about a month. And now the questions are coming, you know, what is it? And they don't really want you to say exactly what it is, but they want the clues, you know, and so they're asking hints. Does it have anything to do with music, you know? Is it big, you know? Is it light? What shape is it? And there's a curiosity. Just think if God had created this beautiful earth, the gorgeous mountains, and the trickling streams, and the starry hosts, and had left us in the pitch black. You woke up every morning and you couldn't see your hand in front of you. You couldn't see the mountain. You couldn't hear the trickle of the stream. It was just black. It was there, but you couldn't see it. Or imagine going to a theater and there's a three-act play and you sit down in the front row and it comes curtain time, you know, and the first act comes and you sit there and the curtain's closed, the second act and the third, and you never pull back the curtain to enjoy or enter into the beauty of the play. Well, God has a beautiful age-old mystery. Verse 25. Now to Him who is able to establish you according to the revelation of the mystery hidden. There's a mystery hidden from long ages past. Could be translated hidden from times eternal. But now is revealed. But now it's revealed. Peter said it a little differently. 1 Peter 1:9. You are receiving the goal of your faith. You are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come to you, the prophets searched intently and with the greatest care, trying to find out the time and the circumstances to which the Spirit in them was pointing. Even angels long to look into these things. You see, there's a mystery, something wonderful that God has in mind, in store for us, His chosen, His people. God spoke about it really in the Old Testament. It's in the writings. And somebody has once said that the new is in the old concealed. But now that Christ has come, and now that we have the New Testament, the old is in the new revealed. Now, the Scripture says here in this text, now it's been revealed. Now we understand what those Old Testament prophets were speaking about as it spoke about the promises that God had actually made in eternity. And Titus put it this way in Titus 1:2, as he defines the mystery as the hope of eternal life. He says, the hope of eternal life which God, who does not lie, promised before the beginning of time. And at His appointed season, He brought His word to light through the preaching entrusted to me by the command of God, our Savior. Folks, God deserves your confidence because He has brought to light a rock of safety. The revelation has been made known now, which was hidden for long ages past. So we can rest in His revelation here today. God's rock of safety has not only been revealed, but what's been revealed is good news. It's a rock of safety that brings us good news. In verse 25, now to Him who was able to establish you by My gospel. It's the gospel that Paul had been preaching, the Apostle Paul. And as you know, gospel means, simply put, good news. We can take confidence this morning because there is good news. What's been revealed is a good thing. It could have been a bad thing, you know. It could have been judgment that was revealed. Instead, something wonderful. A helpful story. I'll jar your memory about the pioneers of the Old West. And they would be out in the open plains. And there may be grasses in the fields. And occasionally, it gets pretty windy out there. And sometimes things catch on fire, too. And if you're out in this open, prairie, and there's just nothing but like grasses around you, and the fire just keeps coming at you, and there's really nowhere to hide. And so the pioneers learned early on how to find a place of safety, a place to stand. And so they would burn a circle of grass around them before the fire ever hit. They'd see the fire coming. They would burn out a circle, and there they would stand because there was really no place to run. And then when the fire came, you see, they were standing in a place of safety because the fire had already burned there ahead of them. And so it is with the revelation of God's Son. What has God revealed to us? Good news that as you consider that cross, and someone said that had you been there, you could have touched it and gotten a splinter. And had you been standing there at the foot of the cross, you'd begin to understand that God was doing something. It wasn't just the Romans and Jesus, but God was Himself striking His own Son. We considered Him smitten, stricken of God. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. And the punishment that was upon Him is where we find our peace. You see, it's a good news for us in this revelation that God is pouring out His judgment upon His Son, burning down His wrath upon Him, that we might escape the coming wrath in the age to come, because we all will appear before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account for what we've done in the body. The good news this morning is that, yes, we fall short, but God has burned a place of safety, a rock of safety, where we can stand and need not fear the fires. Now to Him who is able to establish you by My gospel, by the good news that God was preaching through St. Paul, which we've been studying here in Romans for some months now. By that news, He is able to establish you through the proclamation of Jesus Christ. God's rock of safety is good news for us, and so we can take confidence. But also, it's a rock of safety that's a firm place to stand. It's a firm place to stand. Notice again in the 25th verse, He says, "Now to Him who is able to establish you." Notice those words. He's able to establish you. Some other translations could put it this way. Now to Him who is able to strengthen you, to stabilize you, to Him who is able to keep you upright, and at this especially, to Him who is able to fix you firmly, to fix you firmly. The word there in the NIV to establish is the same word that's used elsewhere when they tell the parable of the rich man and Lazarus. Remember the parable? One was suffering tremendous consequences for his negligent waste of a life, the rich man. And the other man was the poor man who was in the bosom of Lazarus, the bosom of Abraham, which I believe has to do with the covenant of God and the promises of God, symbolizes paradise and heaven. And the one was in Hades or hell. And they wanted to move back and forth. The one wanted to move, you know, just get a little relief. And it was said in the parable that Jesus said, He said, there's a chasm fixed. There's no moving back and forth, as some religions might have us to believe. There's no moving back and forth. It's a chasm that's fixed. It's the same word here. Him who is able to establish you. He's able to fix you firmly. And every day that in the gospel, the good news of Christ, we have a place where we can come and we can stand. It's not like the reports you hear over the winter, you know, with all the ice and the freezing we've had, and they'd come on and they'd give you and tell you, be careful, you know, about your children playing on the ice. And somebody's been reported over here at the Loch Raven Dam or wherever it might be. And, you know, and we want the ice to be like 4 inches thick because people are falling through and they have hypothermia and some lose their lives. And they're trying to talk about having a firm place to stand. And that's what Paul is really telling us here in verse 25. God has given you a place to stand firm. It's a similar thought, parallel in Matthew 7. You know it, when Jesus said, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on a rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. Jesus said, folks, that I will build my church. If you're trying to build your own life, or if we as officers and leaders in church, are we trying to build the church, we can't do it. It's not in us. It's standing on Christ and His gospel, embracing it, renewing ourselves in it, renewing our confidence in it, preaching it, teaching the good news. There's a place of safety for everyone who would come to Jesus. He is the creator, the sustainer, and the redeeming person of God's choice. Matthew 28, Jesus said after His resurrection, what? What did He say? All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. God wants your heart. He wants you to put your confidence, renew it in His Son every day, because He is able to establish you, as He says there, as able to establish you by my gospel and the proclamation of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of mystery hidden for long ages past, but now revealed through the prophetic writings by the command of the eternal God. God has commanded the gospel to go forth. He wants us to know it. In fact, He invites us to enter into it through faith. We have a rock of safety that's been revealed to us, and we have a firm place where we can stand. But you also notice there's an invitation. It's a rock of safety as an invitation to everyone who is willing to rest there at the rock. Look at what he says in 27. Why did Christ reveal himself? God coming to earth in the flesh, dying for our sins. Why did he do that? Notice what he says. So that all nations, the purpose of the revelation is so that that all nations, whoever will, might rest in him, might believe and obey or follow. Revelation 22 put it a little differently. Come, say the Spirit and the Bride, the Church. Let everyone who hears this say, come. Let everyone who's thirsty come. Let anyone who wants to come and take without cost from the water of life. You know, it has nothing to do with how good you can be for God. It has nothing to do with earning anything from God, deserving, you deserve nothing. None of us deserve anything. I've always said anything less than hell that we receive is more than we deserve. God comes to you in Christ, and He wants you to come to Him. As we saw in John 3:16, God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son. Whoever believes in Him will not perish, but have everlasting life. And John Bunyan used to say, he was the author of Pilgrim's Progress, imprisoned. And he would say things like, if the Lord were to say, John Bunyan, come and take of the water of life. Come and stand here on the rock of safety. If he just said John Bunyan, he says, I might not go because, you know, there could be 5 or 10 John Bunyans or 20. How did I know he means me? There's probably other people with your name out there. But there's so many scriptures that say things that whosoever will believe. Whoever will believe. And I think that's what we get in this text here. That Jesus comes into the world so that all nations might believe. That all nations, whoever will, regardless of your nationality, your race, your background, your age, doesn't make any difference if you're employed, unemployed, whether you're single or married, whether you have a terrible history or whether you have a fairly good history. He holds an invitation for whoever will come to stand and rest at the rock. We can all come to trust and follow. And that's what He wants for us, not just one time when we trust Christ as Savior, but every day. Jesus says, come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy burden, I'll give you rest. You know, you're worried about Iraq. You're worried about the war. You're worried about your families. You're worried about your finances. You're worried about your job. You're worried about relationship. Whatever it might be, at any moment, He says, come to me. Now to Him who is able to establish you. To Him who is able to help you stand firmly fixed. Fixed firmly with a solid place to stand every day. Now to Him, Paul says, who is able to establish you by my gospel and the proclamation of Jesus Christ. To Him, the only wise God, the glory through Jesus Christ forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, You deserve our hearts this morning. You deserve our confidence, and You deserve our praise. Thank You for revealing Your Son to us. Oh Lord, forgive us for neglecting to look at Him. Forgive us for our anxiety. Forgive us for our doubt. So we come renewing our hope in Him. We again give You back our hearts. We give You our hearts. Confidence, and we give You our hands of praise, for You are worthy of it, for You have come, sacrificed Your very self, befriending us, that we might embrace You and enjoy Your friendship throughout space and time. Receive our hearts, renew them, help us to lift up our heads and our hands in thanksgiving for the new hope that is ours through Jesus Christ. His name we pray. Amen.